those children. Amen. God bless you. So excited that you're here. Wonderful, beautiful faces. And this is the season of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the whole purpose of Christmas. There will be no Christmas without Christ. He is the reason. And so glad that you're here today. Pray God's blessings on you and all that you do in this special time of the year. Amen. We're in week two, part two of a series that we started last week called The Perfect Gift. And we receive the salvation of Christ only because Jesus forgives us of our sins. Jesus forgives us of our sins before we ask for forgiveness. Jesus forgives us of our sins before we receive his salvation. Forgiveness is a huge part, I believe, not only of our salvation, but how we represent Christ. At this time of the year, I feel like it's important that we're reminded. I've spoken several times on forgiveness and forgiving, and because it's such a even a daily part of life that we choose to forgive. This time of the year, unforgiveness is magnified in our hearts. We remember sometimes during this time of the year more difficult times, and we become sad because things didn't go maybe the way we expected it over the years, and something that's happened even years ago we find in our heart it's a tender spot. And so I want us to receive the perfect gift of Christ, but as we receive that gift, I believe that Jesus wants to show us how we can also give the gift of forgiveness. Amen? He exemplifies that so perfectly. So forgiveness is very important. Let's read out of Ephesians 4:32, then we'll pray. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your salvation to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you draw us closer to you today through your word. Open our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we may hear you, that we may follow you, that we may receive you, Lord, and give us the heart to carry out your word as you bless us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever found it difficult to forgive someone even when they intentionally hurt you? Even when you know that they're intentionally doing something to bring harm to you, maybe not physically, but emotionally or in some way trying to hurt you or tear you down. It's difficult, isn't it? It's not in our nature to forgive. It's in our nature to get even. Honestly, you know. Our human nature is to get even. Our human nature is to, I'm going to hold this against you as long as I can, and I'm going to make you pay. And so that's our human nature. So to forgive and to have a forgiving heart, it's supernatural. It goes against our personal intention. It goes against our personal natural thing to do, and it leads into a supernatural state. That's why we need Jesus. We need Jesus to help us to forgive. We talked last week about forgiveness, and there are two important things in our life that takes up really needed space in our life, and that's our mind and our time when we hold unforgiveness. It takes our time because our time, we find that we draw our time in a way to be more vindictive or to get even. It takes up our mind because we have to put together some scenarios to work things out to our favor so that we're trying to get even. So two really things that we all need, and that's our time and our mind, space in our mind, so that we're more focused on God. If our time and our mind is more focused on things that the devil is wanting to do in and through us, that takes time away from us being more productive for the purpose that we were created. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that he can cause us to think and to wake up in the morning as the first thing that we think of. We have knots in our stomach. We're worried. We fret. We're concerned. Well, if I see them today, how, you know, so all these things are consuming us. When all along God wants us to release that thing, we talked last week about releasing, letting it go, so that we have the time and the energy and the mind of Christ to do the things that he's called us to do. And I have found when I follow God's plan, he not only makes me more productive, but he also makes life more rewarding. And so we hinder ourselves by doing things contrary to God's principle, and that is forgiving. So I want to talk about that for a little bit today, about letting go, about releasing offenses in our life. We have to put forth effort to be obedient to what Christ has called us to do. And so we all will be offended sometimes. You know, wouldn't it be good to go 1 week without being offended? Somebody offended me. Somebody said something wrong. And you know what? Many times that offense comes completely how we take it, not how it was delivered. It was not delivered as an offensive thing. It was not delivered as an offensive statement. You ever had somebody tell you, you look good today. Your hair looks good today. It's like, well, what about yesterday? What? You know, if we're walking around with a chip on our shoulder, we find that we're mostly offended. And Jesus says this in Matthew 24:10. He says, and then many, in the Greek it means majority. Isn't that encouraging? And then the majority will be offended. That's Jesus just telling us like it is. Majority will be offended in the last days. We'll betray one another and we'll hate one another. Well, now that's an uplifting word for Christmas, isn't it? He tells us that so that we're not shocked when we're offended. So we're not, it's not like we're not being human when we're offended. It's like we're being more human than supernatural. Well, you know what? While we're human, we'll be offended. And so Jesus wants to tell us that we will be offended, that we'll betray one another and we'll hate one another. Offended also means that the offense creates a trap for us. So when we're offended, we take that offense, we receive that offense, and it puts us in a trap to where we are bound by that trap. So us even receiving from God or delivering our love to God, we'll talk more about that in a moment, is limited because we're in this trap of offense. Jesus says in Luke 17:1, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Offenses will come. It's impossible for us not to be offended. Why? Can't I be Christ-like enough that I'm not ever offended? Well, the devil knows just how to offend us. He knows just what we need to hear to pick up an offense. So it's not the offense, it's what we do after the offense. That's why I think when Jesus said, when your brother slaps you, turn to the other cheek. Let him slap the other side. He's helping us to get past and over the offense. So don't get bogged down because you're offended. My mom's mom, many years ago, I happened to be present for a time when my grandmother was offended. And you've heard me speak of my grandmother. She was very outspoken, sweet, dear lady, great cook, and loved her grandson. Matter of fact, she acknowledged to everyone else that I hung the moon. And so I grew up with my mama loving me in that way. But someone offended her one time, and I was present when that happened, and she began to proceed to tell them what she was going to do, that they were going to be stomped through the floor if they didn't get out of her house. So there are times when we become offended, but it's what we do at the point of offense and after that really makes the difference. In Proverbs 18:19, this is the problem with most of us. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Well, during this time, strong cities, they have thick walls to protect them. So they put up these thick walls. Well, the problem with us taking an offense and putting up walls, it protects us, but it also keeps God out of our life. We put up walls where there's a divide. Well, I put up this wall. You ever been around somebody that you can't seem to communicate because they've got a wall up? Well, what they're doing, they're protecting themselves. And when they protect themselves, they protect themselves not only from the bad people, but they're also for the good people, things that God wants to mean good in their life. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. We put up walls sometimes that keeps God out of our life because we don't want to be disappointed. We don't want to be hurt. Now, if you're here today and you've never been offended, just take notes and just say, well, just in case this ever happens, you've got something to fall back on. When love even is no longer given, love is no longer received. You can't, when we block out God's love, when we don't receive God's love, we can't give God's love because it's not coming in for us to give it. We can't give God's love. We can't give God's unconditional forgiving love. We're not capable of doing that without first receiving God's love. It's by receiving his love that we're able to give God's love. Offenses come through different situations. Some of these may sound familiar. You may be betrayed. Someone who you trust turned their back on you. Well, they stabbed you in the back. They said something different from the facts. They didn't speak the truth. They betrayed you. Maybe they falsely accused you. They blamed you for something you didn't do, or they blamed you for something that you didn't say. Sometimes our motives are misjudged, aren't they? We're judged on how they perceived our motives rather than how we meant our motives. So falsely accused. It also can come to being offended by being rejected. We let our guard down to someone else and it's not reciprocated. We're rejected. Abused. Abused physically, emotionally, and even sometimes sexually. There's a mistreatment of how God intended you to be treated. There's an abuse. And also humiliated. You're embarrassed. You're laughed at. You're poked fun at. And you've probably, most of you have been through each one of these. Well, it just so happens that Jesus faced each one of these offenses. Every single one. Jesus was betrayed. He was falsely accused. He was rejected. He was abused, and he was humiliated. Jesus has experienced each one of these. To the degree that anything we go through, he knows exactly how we feel. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 says, therefore in all things, even including our offenses, he, speaking of Jesus, had to be made like his brethren that he might be merciful and faithful high priest. High priest being a mediator between us and God. In things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In other words, God came and experienced all of these things to get rid of our sins. He knew exactly what we would face. He knew the pain, the agony, the turmoil, the sleepless nights, the worry, the fretting. He experienced all that. As he could relate to you and know that you could, he could relate to you, knowing that he went through the same pain and agony to get rid of our sins. Verse 18 says, for in that he himself suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. That's each one of us. Do you want somebody who can relate to you? Jesus Christ can relate to you. Our best friend, who will not betray us, who will not turn his back on us, who will not humiliate us, who will not disappoint us, who will not fail us. Jesus Christ is all those things to us. So he can relate to our offense. He can relate to our hurt. 1 Peter 4:1 tells us what to do. Tells us what Jesus did. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves, strengthen yourselves also with the same mind. Strengthen ourselves with the same mind, the same way of thinking that Jesus had, we're to have. Well, what's wrong with my thinking? Well, my thinking, I limit myself to receiving the forgiveness that God has because I'm not able to forgive. So we're to arm ourselves also with the same mind as Christ, the same way of thinking. He goes on to say, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So Jesus became angry and he didn't sin. Well, what about when I come angry? What about when I feel all these feelings? What can I do? Well, it just so happens the Bible spends some time about what we think. There's some scripture that I want to point out. Just make notes of these because I don't believe you have it there. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So as I think, as I meditate on what is in my heart, that's what I become. I'm thinking about being angry. What do I become? Angry. I'm thinking about getting back. What do I become? I become vindictive. I become angry. I become bitter. So as I think in my heart, so that's what I become. In Romans 12, 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Well, what does that mean? I've got to wipe it clean. It's not like a flash drive where I can just delete everything and just put back good things. I renew my mind by what Christ thinks, just what we read here in Hebrews. 1 Peter, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can I know the perfect will of God? It all begins with how you think, knowing the way that Christ thought. Well, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. It's an instruction that is possible that we can achieve through thinking like Christ thought. He went through the same pain, the same agony, the same offenses. We just read all the same things that we go through, Christ already went through. And he made it through without sinning, all in the way he was thinking. Isn't that interesting? So the way of our thinking will cause us to harbor offenses, or our way of thinking will cause us to forgive offenses. That's really the only two ways. We can harbor the offenses or we can forgive offenses. And it all begins with our mind. See, what I think about is going to be portrayed through my actions. What I give meditation to will be portrayed through my actions. And so if we think like Christ, that means we will act. It'll come through acting like Christ. And so as Christ loves me, I can also love others, not based on what they have done or haven't done, not based on how vindictive they were or how much they hate me, but how Christ loves them, I can also love them. So how I think, my way of thinking, should align with Jesus' thinking. Jesus dealt with his offenses in his mind and in his thoughts. It all starts there. Why do you think that the devil wants to take your thoughts captive? Why do you think the devil wants to cause you to doubt Christ? Well, doubt starts in your mind and it gets in your heart, and then you're living out doubt. You're living out, well, God would never do that for me. God would never save me. God will never bless me in that way. You must be one of his favorite children because you're so blessed, but why don't he bless me that way? Where we should be thinking, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in my life. I thank you for life. I thank you for salvation. I thank you that you deliver me out of all my despair. I thank you, Lord, that you deliver me all out of my hurts and my offenses in my life. I thank you, Lord, that things aren't what I want them to be. But, Lord, I thank you that you've brought me from where I was to where I am today, and you're going to continue to take me forward in Christ. Amen? See, Jesus hung on the cross, and this is what Jesus said as he hung on that cross, Luke 23 and 34. It says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, I don't believe not one of us has hung on a cross. But Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, moments from his life leaving his body, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Now, he didn't just stop there. Look at what else he said. This is incredible. For they do not know what they do. What? They're nailing him to a tree. They're beating him to a pulp till the flesh was off of his body. He's bleeding to death. And they do not know what they... those words came out of Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. Why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say the words, they don't know what they're doing? Did they not know that they were nailing him to a cross? Did they not know that they were beating him until the life left his body? Did they not know? Of course, they knew that. They just did not realize the impact. And so through that, Jesus didn't question them. He didn't interview them and say, come here, do you realize what you're doing? He didn't interview them, did he? He didn't ask them. He immediately said, Father, forgive them because I already know they don't know what they're doing. Of course they knew. Of course they intentionally were driving the nails in his hands. Of course they were intentionally whipping him. Of course they were intentionally spitting upon him. But Jesus said they don't know what they're doing. What was different about what Jesus was thinking versus what the facts were? This is it. Jesus chose to see them differently. Jesus chose to see them beyond their actions. Their actions were offensive. Their actions were to take the life of Jesus. And Jesus chose to see them differently. The offenses being made, all the pain that was being administered, all that was going on in that setting, Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, Jesus hates sin, but he loves the sinner. There's a difference between actions and I'm sorry, there's a difference between actions and who we are, who Jesus says we are. Jesus loves us. The Bible says that he died even before we were born. He gave his life for us, even knowing that we were yet sinners. So Jesus loves us sinners, but he hates the sin. Jesus did not condone what those people were doing to him, but yet he loved them anyway. The confusion many times in our world today is that, well, Jesus must condone what I'm doing because he still speaks to me. He must be okay with how I'm living. He must be okay with what I'm doing because he still speaks to me. This will change your life. He speaks to you because he loves you. He doesn't necessarily like your actions, but he looks beyond your actions and tells you, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Your actions of sin, my actions of sin, does not define who we are. Who Jesus calls you defines who you are. He separates the sin from the sinner. And see, it's up to us to ask forgiveness of that sin. It's up to us to forgive so that we can receive the forgiveness of Christ. I'm reminded of the story in Matthew chapter 18 where Jesus told the parable of the shepherd leaving the 99 and going to the 100, going to the one. So the shepherd left. All 99, all were there, and as the shepherd was counting, he got to 99 and stopped counting because there was one missing. Now, what would have been interesting had the shepherd went over and searched and searched and searched for that one, and he said, well, okay, you're over here, but you're okay there. You continue to do what you're doing. I just wanted to find out where you were. You stay there, and you're fine. And he left and went to the, he didn't, did he? The shepherd said, Jesus said the shepherd went to find the one to bring him back into the fold. Why is that important? Because Jesus wants us to know, even while we're offending, even while we're living in sin, Jesus will still come to you to give you a chance to come back to him. It's not that he's condoning the one that went away. He's not condoning it. He's going there to get that one to bring him back into the safety. Now that sheep could have said, no, leave me alone. I'm having fun where I'm at. Thank you for your love, but I'm going to stay here. And the shepherd would have left to go back to the 99, leaving the one by himself to possibly be eaten by the wolves. So Jesus' heart is to bring the sinner, to bring that one, to bring the one that's wayward. Just because Jesus is speaking to you does not mean he condones your actions. He forgives, but he loves you enough to go out to get you and to bring you back in. That's the forgiving power of Jesus Christ. I was coming across the causeway one morning last week, and as I was on Frederica, headed into town. Frederica's two lanes, and there's only so many places to pass. Well, I was being good. I was doing the speed limit that particular morning, and. And I was riding along, but as I was riding along, this guy in a big truck behind me, he was just eating the paint off my bumper. He was just hanging in there. Like, my goodness, man, if I have to slam on brakes, we're both in trouble. But he was, which he would have went over the top of me. But so he was riding me. And so my first thought is, tap the brakes. I'm being honest. Tap the brakes. Let him know that you're in the car and you don't like that. And that's right. Woo. And so we were riding along, and I was good. I just kept doing it, and kept going along. And as soon as he got where he could, got out to the causeway, he hit the gas on that truck, and he plowed out, and he was gone. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "How do you know he's not rushing to the ER to check on a sick child? How do you know that he's not maybe going to check on someone that's sick and needs him right away? How do you know that he's not running behind to try to save someone's life?" And the Spirit of God gripped my heart. Now, I'm not saying it was true and may not have been, but what if it were true? What if it were true? And then the Lord reminded me, and he said, have you ever done the same thing that you're getting angry at him about doing? Have you ever been on somebody's bumper getting ready to push them that you had to be somewhere really important and you needed to be there 30 minutes ago? It's amazing how God speaks to us. It's how we see the person. It's how we view the situation. It's not that I couldn't have been offended. My immediate response is just like your immediate response would have been. Become angry. Who do you think you are? I'm going to teach you a lesson. And then it could have ruined my day. Right? And so many times we have to face the same choices in a deeper level about situations that we face throughout the day. And many times we blame it on, well, it's just a bad Monday. You know, we blame it on different things going on. But really what it's boiling down to is Christ is coming to us and saying, I forgave you. Now, how about you learning how to forgive? How about you living out what I'm doing in your life? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The first thing that can help me be more forgiving is to realize that I will also need forgiveness. I need forgiveness too. I can tell you now that we'll probably never, ever forgive the number of times that Christ has forgiven us. If we forgive 70 times 7 per day, that's not going to equate to the many times that Christ has forgiven us. There may come a time that we need forgiveness. And as we forgive, we receive. Amen? As we learn how to forgive, have a forgiving heart. And so I like to say it this way, just always live a forgiving heart. Don't let anything take root in your heart that's not God. Because if we do, that's just an immediate door for the devil to come in and say, you know what? I can take this part of your mind and consume you with that hurt to where it'll grow and grow and grow. Because you know what? This afternoon, maybe, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, there may come a time where you are presented with the opportunity to be offended. And you'll think about this and say, God, help me to forgive so that I can receive your forgiveness. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all of us have sinned. Every person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We'll all need forgiveness. Amen? Some sooner than others. Amen? We'll all need forgiveness. There'll come a time I'll be riding somebody else's bumper in a hurry to get there, and the Lord will remind me, forgive, and I forgive you. Jesus forgives us over and over. We never run out. And see, what receiving God's forgiveness, receiving his love, should draw us closer to him, to where we catch ourselves before we sin. Amen? That's what he's trying to bring us to. Jesus is trying to bring us to the place to where we're conscious of his presence and conscious of his love for us so much that we love him that we catch ourselves. You know what? I'm not going to say anything bad about them. God knows they're rotten just like I know they're rotten. But I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I'm going to love them and bless them. I'm going to forgive them. That should be our heart. And you know what? How would our life change if we lived in that attitude of forgiveness? Not letting any seed take place in our heart, but say, God, my heart is totally yours. And I want to be pure before you. I want to love the way you love. I want to forgive the way you forgive. How could our lives change? How much more free could we be? Matthew 10:8, the latter part of Matthew 10:8 says, freely you've received, freely give. He's given us freely, and we're also to make the choice to forgive. Jesus made that choice. He chose to see them differently. We've got to choose to see them differently. The second thing we should do is identify the real enemy. As I was talking about my story a while ago, my mama, she identified the real enemy as this other person. She was angry at this person and was ready to do something. But you know what? If we can identify the real enemy, and that is the devil, then we're not angry at the person, we're angry at the devil. So much so that whatever he brings our way, it's a red flag. I know that's you, devil, and I'm not going there. I choose to follow Christ. I choose to love this person the way that Christ loves this person. And if we live our life that way, how much free would we be of all the things that we get bogged down with? God, I want to follow you because I know who my adversary is. I know who my enemy is, and it's not Jesus. It's not a person, but it's the devil. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." We know who that is. "Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." See, we have people hurting all around us. And the people that are hurting all around you, what's their first thing to do? Their first thing to do is to hurt people, because they're trying to protect themselves. And so sometimes we get in the path of a hurt person trying to hurt people. And we think that it's against us. You know what? It's not. It's not no more against us than those people that were killing Jesus knew what they were doing, really knew what they were doing. Take the mind of Christ and realize that the devil is your enemy. It's not the person. It's not the crime. It's not the offense. Third, we need to allow God to love us. This is huge, because we get hurt so many times, we put up walls many times, to where we're not able to love, and we're, as I said earlier, we're not able to receive Christ's love. Now, I understand there are things that many of you are going through that you're struggling with and you're working through, and I understand that. But we need to allow God to work out the details of the other person, not us. You say, if they would only see things my way, if they would only do what they're supposed to do, my life would be great. You've heard me say this. We can't base our success and our walk in Christ based on what somebody else does or doesn't do. What if they don't ever do what they're supposed to do? Does that mean that I'm not going to ever be who Christ says that I am? So our life has to be based on what he says and who he says we are, and not based on what somebody else does or doesn't do. Now, I believe that if we will line up with Christ, that person in your life will be blessed by you taking the road of Christ, and they will be blessed and even more susceptible to Jesus speaking to them than they were before. See, we think that I'm going to hold them responsible for their actions, and I'm going to teach them a lesson that they need to get right with Christ. So we make it our place to affect other people and to bring them to Christ. See, our place is not to force the Holy Spirit down their throat. Thank God he didn't call us to do that. He didn't call us to say, you stay there with them and you beat the Holy Spirit in them till they receive it. That's not our calling, is it? Thank God. Thank God he called us to do the easy part. We plant the seed, we love, we forgive, we do the easy stuff. And then he's got to make them do right. Thank God that's not our job. He didn't call us to do his job. Isn't that good? That all we have to do is our part. We do our part and we get it down. We love like he loves. We forgive like he forgives. And see, I'm in this with you. I'm in this with you. We get all kind of opportunities to be offended. People that you've helped and people that you've loved and people that you've cherished and people that you've been with for years, and they come to you and do all but spit in your face, do all but slap you. Just like that. And so we've got to be prepared. We've got to have a heart of forgiveness. If not, our first reaction is to fume and boil and fire blows out of your ears and smoke, and you know, that doesn't help anybody. And so we've got to allow God, may I receive your love so that I can freely give your love. Even when the adversary comes knocking on your door, we don't take it out on the person. We say, God, you see this. You see their heart. You see their actions. You see what's behind this. But you know what? It's not my job to judge them. It's not my job to judge whether they're doing this on purpose or not. My job is to love. My job is to forgive. My job is to be kind. We talked about last week. Well, does that mean when you forgive that you've got to reconcile with that person? Not always. Reconciliation is not the same as forgiveness. Forgiveness is what we're supposed to do. Reconciling, as long as you're in tune with God, and when they come to in tune with God, then reconciliation. It's kind of like marriage. We married a beautiful couple yesterday, and we talked about how marriage requires 100%. 100% from him and 100% from her. And if there's anything less than that, there's an issue. We need to make sure that we're giving 100%. Well, Jesus has already given 100%. And if we give 100%, we can make it through anything. But if we're in a situation where we're giving 100%, we're doing just what Christ did. We take on the mind of Christ. We love, we forgive, we walk in peace as it concerns us with all men. And then the other party does not choose to do that, it is not on you as long as you are walking with Christ. When the time comes that they see the light and the Lord deals with them, not me dealing with them, that's not my business, me doing what I'm supposed to do, and then they come to a place of doing what they're supposed to do, you know what? There's reconciliation at that point. And it is possible. You say, well, it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Everything God does, it seems impossible to us. But it's all possible with God. But don't take it our responsibility to think we've got to have reconciliation. I love what my pastor, Pastor Ligon, said one time. He said, forgiveness is given, but trust is earned. Forgiveness is given. We can forgive. So many people get confused and they say, open the door, come right on in, and you go and take the rug and the refrigerator and everything else you took before. No. Trust is earned. It's okay to let them build trust. That could take 3 days or it could take 30 years. Trust is earned. Forgiveness is given. So our forgiveness should be immediate. Just like Jesus, as he was hanging, he said, forgive them. He didn't wait till 3 days later when he was up and alive and said, you know what? Okay, they're forgiven. They didn't know whether. No, he didn't. He did it immediately. He forgave them immediately. Why? Because his heart was to be pure before his Father. Because if we hold on to that thing, then it becomes sin. It becomes sin because then we start thinking about how we're going to cut some wires and do some things we shouldn't do, right? So that's that. At that point, it becomes sin. If we let it go, it takes no root of bitterness, takes no root of unforgiveness in our heart. Allow God to love you. When we truly allow God to love us, when we truly get a glimpse, now we can never know the entire body of God's love for us. It's bigger. It's bigger than life. God loves us so much. We say that, and he really does love us so much. It's bigger than we are. But if we'll catch a glimpse of how much he loves us, we sung a while ago about God's love. When we get a glimpse of his love for us, it pushes us to the place to where we say, God, if you can love me like that when I've been so unlovable and I've offended you so much and I've done things that I shouldn't do, if you can love me like that, surely I can love that person that did something against me and they didn't know what they were doing. If we could look at them as a victim themselves, maybe possibly they're hurting you because they've been a victim of the same environment. Jesus may have seen into those hearts that those people were lashing out to them because they had been disappointed in life too. Maybe something had happened to them that caused them to be so angry and they were taking it out on Jesus. You know what? We may be somebody's whipping post. We may be somebody taking it out on us, and we don't know from Adam's house cat, but they're taking it out on you because you're wearing a smile on your face. I remember when Jordan was real young, working at Zuzu's, I believe, down at the pier. You were maybe 14 years old, working at the pier, and this guy came up to her and said, why do you smile all the time? Are you really that happy? She smiled and said, yeah. He said, you can't be that happy. She said, well, I am. Well, that's impossible. You're smiling all the time. One of these days I'm going to do something, and I'm going to make it where you don't smile, he says. So the peace of God sometimes will make people angry just because they don't like the way you smile. Are you to be offended? Or are you to be forgiving? Are you to harbor that offense and let it get to you and tear you down and take you away from Christ? Or do we say, God, you know what? I'm forgiving them and I'm going to love you no matter what. Amen. And so the reward comes in that. Reward comes in that because we receive the peace and the joy of God even beyond the circumstances. Because if we look at the offense will hold us back and we'll go through Christmas thinking, you know what? Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, but I'm so sad. I'm so hurt because of this thing or that thing. Jesus wants you to have peace and joy every single day of the year, knowing who he is and not being wrapped up with the circumstances, the hurt, the pain, the past, all those things. We're to forgive. 1 John 4:19-21 says we love him. We love Jesus because he first loved us. How do we learn to love? Look at Christ. He's our example of love. He's our example of forgiveness. Receiving God's love gives us the capacity to give God's love. We've got to receive it before we can give it. We receive God's love to give it. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God from whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Jesus, that he who loves God must love his brother. So if I had to say everything I've said today in one sentence, I would say this. We need to see others through the eyes of Jesus Christ. If we'll learn to see every single person as a creation of Christ, if we'll learn to see past the circumstances, past the hurt, say, Jesus, I want to love them the way that you love them. If we can learn to do that, then we're so much ahead of where the devil wants to keep us. And that is bound to that hurt, bound to that offense, bound to that struggle that is so alive. I believe there's some today that need to experience God's forgiveness and love. I believe there's some today that maybe you're here every Sunday and you just feel like, you know what, I haven't really felt God's forgiveness. How can I forgive it? Maybe you're saying, I haven't really felt God's love in my life. How can I give it? And I think there are others today that just need to make the decision to choose to think like he thinks. Looking beyond their actions, looking beyond the offense and say, you know what, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I choose to love them. So I want us to stand together this morning. Jordan's going to lead us. And as she leads us, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. Is it that maybe you've not received God's love? Is it maybe that you've not received God's forgiveness today, so it's difficult to give something you've not received? Or is it that you've received God's love and his forgiveness, but it's just difficult making the choice to see them through the eyes of Jesus? If that's you, Jordan's going to lead us this morning. And let's, if you will come stand with me, well, let's pray together. And I believe that the Lord is here to meet you this morning. He's here to see into your heart. You know what? You're not condemned because you need either one of these. As a matter of fact, we all have to make this choice every single day. God, that I will love you just like you love me. That I choose to forgive just the way that you forgive me. And that I need forgiveness, Lord, of everything in my life so that I can show forth forgiveness. Sometimes we harbor those things in our life because we think we're so far gone, we're so bad that there's no way Jesus would love me. There's no way that Jesus would forgive me. I've done this awful thing, or I've done this thing in my life, and there's no way he could forgive me. Did you know that he knows exactly where you are? He's waiting for you to admit it. You're not hiding anything from him. I'm not hiding anything from him. He sees us just as we are, and he still forgives, and he still loves. So if that's you this morning, come stand right here. We're going to pray together. Jordan, lead us in worship.